Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Last night, the Pelicans were down 18 points against the Lakers in the Smoothie King Center. They came back to tie, and they fell apart. What happened? They just... Look, L.A. is great. LeBron James is incredible, especially at that age. I hate to say it, but, you know, Anthony Davis looks pretty good. But I can't figure out why the Pelicans have such a hard time winning at home. Your home court, that's supposed to be where you thrive, and they're not thriving there. The Pelicans have one more chance to make it to the playoffs, and that's Friday night, Smoothie King Center against the Sacramento Kings. And, it's discouraging to see a team that has the talent, and we've seen them win before. We've seen them win spectacular games before. But it's like the team gets nervous. It's like they choke and they just can't hit the shots. And I mean, they were pathetic at the free throw line, and that's really really discouraging. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. It's Wednesday afternoon. We're already halfway to the weekend. A lot going on. So the Louisiana legislature has now done away with this bill that was working its way through the legislature that would exclude the French Quarter and maybe hospitality zones in New Orleans from the constitutional carry law is expected to go into effect this summer. So anybody in the French Quarter or the hospitality zone would have to have a concealed carry permit to carry a gun. Now, look, let's be clear about one thing. Guns are not the problem. People are the problem. And everybody has a right to own a gun. Well, no, not everybody. I mean, if you're cuckoo, you don't have a right to own a gun. I don't have a problem with the French Quarter being a special zone where constitutional carry doesn't matter. I don't think that's an assault on the Second Amendment at all. I think that there are already restrictions, so the precedent is already there for you not to be able to carry guns in certain places in our society. But this bill is done with. And I think one of the areas was daycare centers. Create daycare centers as a free gun zone. So that law is not going to happen. It's not going to turn into law. So I guess the little kids going to daycare can bring their guns with them. I mean, as long as they use them responsibly, I think it's okay for kids to bring their guns to daycare. But I wasn't upset with the idea that there might be some restrictions of constitutional carry, because again, we've already got restrictions. So that is no assault on the Second Amendment. We talked about how there seems to still be no answer from NOPD on what's going on with Officer Vappy and Mayor Cantrell. We saw the picture of them having dinner, had a lot of fun talking about that romantic scene. And NOPD, I think, owes it to the citizens, and I think they owe it to the police officers on the street to hold Officer Vappy accountable, or to at least explain what's going on. Was he on the clock? NOPD knows whether or not he was on the clock. Why aren't they telling us? And as far as I know, they haven't said anything. If they have, let me know about that, but I don't think they've answered this yet. And if he's not on the clock and having a personal relationship with the mayor, that's his supervisor. So that's inappropriate. So, you know, why have an officer who is breaking rules or ripping off the taxpayers? And why not address this? Well, we know why it's not being addressed, because Mayor Cantrell doesn't want NOPD Chief Ann Kirkpatrick to address this. That's my feeling. Okay, I'm going to say that's my opinion. But why isn't it being addressed? There's no answer, and there should be an answer. We've also talked about how do you feel about Governor Jeff Landry's first 100 days in office, and I think it's pretty obvious that he has become the right-wing radical that he was as Attorney General. All right, coming up in just a few minutes, I want to talk about this idea of trashing America, trashing this country, bashing America as a good strategy to get Trump elected. there are people who are trashing this country. I mean, really trashing it. Like America sucks. America's terrible. Things are not that bad by a lot of standards. And a lot of Americans are really doing well. A lot of Americans are not happy with this idea of trashing America. But it seems like this is a strategy. There are two different types of MAGA supporters. And we learned this from the show yesterday. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Also, the first seven jurors in Trump's porn star hush money cover-up trial has been sworn in.
After the first 2 days of Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial, seven jurors were picked. Five more are still needed, plus two alternates. At the end of court Tuesday, Trump accused the judge of rushing the trial.
We are going to continue our fight against this judge. We think he's totally conflicted.
The jurors include an information tech worker, an English teacher, an oncology nurse, a sales professional, a software engineer, and two lawyers. Opening statements begin as early as next week. Trump denies charges of falsifying business records to keep stories about his sex life secret. At court in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
Oh, this is going to be fun. So far, though, Trump is managing to control himself inside the courtroom.
For the second day, Donald Trump was a man of few words inside the courtroom. Outside the courtroom, he continued to attack this case, attack the judge. He claimed that Judge Juan Merchan was moving the case much too fast, moving it along at a rapid pace. And for some reason, Donald Trump feels that that pace is not favorable to him.
And Biden is continuing to campaign, taking advantage of Trump's commitment to be in the courtroom every day for, I guess, the next couple of weeks.
President Biden wants a sharp boost in tariffs on Chinese steel as he courts union voters in Pittsburgh. At the United Steelworkers headquarters today, the president will call for tripling levies on Chinese steel and aluminum. The White House insists the move is more about shielding American manufacturing from cheap imports than it is about firing up a union audience. Senior administration officials say China produces about half the world's steel and sells it on the world market for less than half what U.S.-produced steel costs. But higher tariffs can pose their own economic risks by potentially making steel and aluminum more expensive, and thus making things like cars and other key goods cost more for American consumers. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, a.k.a. Loudmouth, is on the warpath, and momentum is gathering for Republicans to once again kick out their speaker.
I am firmly against the plan as it stands right now. Here's what Republican voters across the country know. They know that Speaker Johnson passed a two-part omnibus that funded Biden's open border, deadly open border policies, funded the DOJ, which has 91 federal indictments against President Trump and wants to put him in jail for the rest of his life, funded the FBI that raided Mar-a-Lago. This is such a scam, and people are so done with it. People care about actions. They're tired of Republicans going out and promising all these promises and saying how we're fighting for America and then sending their hard-earned tax dollars. By the way, today's tax day, April 15th, everyone's having to pay the IRS to fund this government that doesn't care about actually fixing the problems here at home.
Everybody didn't have to pay the government. Some of you got refunds. All right. Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot, and she's trying to wreck the Republican Party. Oh, that's not from me. That's from an op-ed from Fox News. The conservative network Fox News is calling Marjorie Taylor Greene an idiot who's trying to wreck the Republican Party. How long have I been talking about that on this show? How long have I been talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of the right-wing radicals? And this is not about all Republicans or all conservatives, but it's about the right-wing radicals. Marjorie Taylor Greene is among the right-wing radicals who is trying to dismantle the Republican Party. And I think Republicans ought to like come together and denounce her and the other right-wing radicals who are trying to take over the damn party. And I love that Fox News is finally calling her out as an idiot. We've been talking about what a danger Marjorie Taylor Greene is for a long time. She's a loudmouth, and once again, I remind you, she's not a policymaker. She's a noisemaker. Ian, I have a question for you.
What?
What do you get when you offer a liberal a penny for his thoughts?
You give them a penny and then they give you your thoughts. I don't know.
Change.
Like a, less than a penny?
Yeah. Oh. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I picked this up on social media too. This is cool. A liberal, a moderate, and a conservative walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "What can I get you, Mr. Romney?"
Wow, brutal.
No, that's not the joke. Is that Romney went into a bar?
Oh,
because he's Mormon,
right?
Yeah, he wouldn't go into a bar. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. When we come back, let's talk about this trashing of America as a new way of getting Donald Trump elected. And, you know, I remind you, I'm a radical moderate, registered independent, and I love that we so encourage freedom of speech on our show here on WWL. And let me remind you, the WWL code word for the day for Jazz Fest tickets is alligator. So right now you can take alligator, go to our website, WWL.com/contest with an S, and take the word alligator and register to win tickets to Jazz Fest, and you get the Jazz Fest shuttle for free as well. So it's a great deal. And hey, I would invite all of you to join me on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air, become part of the family. And I would love for you to comment on some of the comments that some people post. And it's just, it's so much fun. And I've been talking about this for a long time. It's so much fun to have this opportunity to have you send me messages. And I do the best I can to respond to your messages. But hey, yeah, join me on Scoot on the Air Facebook. It's an extension of our show on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
This country is like so divided, you know, you got to turn it into comedy. It's sad. It's sad that it's sad that the political discourse gets reduced to, you know, hate. And you know, as we've talked about on this show for a long time, politics has become so personal to people. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, there were political opponents. Everybody had political opponents. And you know, there was one side and the other side. But it wasn't reduced to like this personal hate. And it's like if somebody hears something that they disagree with, they like hate the person that delivers the message, even though it's just a general political message. And I think that's the part that's sad. Hey, I want to get to the trashing of America here in just a moment. But I just got a text message from Councilmember Helena Moreno on my personal phone. It says, "Hey, Scoot, just heard the report. He said for sure it's dead on arrival, but the committee, this is concerning the Louisiana legislature and the bill that would exclude the French Quarter from the constitutional carry law if it goes into effect this summer. She said the committee actually agreed to keep Representative Knox's bill alive today after he amended it from a firearm-free zone to allowing firearms with a concealed carry permit in this area. There are a couple of other amendments to make, but no one objected, and they didn't outright kill it, which is shocking." Helena Moreno. Helena, thank you very much for that, and please feel free to text me anytime. It seems like there are two parts to the MAGA movement, MAGA supporters. One group of MAGA supporters, they love, honor, and cherish Donald Trump. They believe he is the savior of America. They believe he was sent by God to save this country. And then there's the group of MAGA supporters who are promoting the idea that we need to make America great again in such a way as to totally trash America in the present state. The second group is made up of Trump supporters, and they want Trump to be the president because of all the political BS with everybody else, but there's also political BS attached to Donald Trump. So they want Trump to be president, but it seems like they're really promoting the idea above Trump of just making America great again. It's almost as if they've taken that whole campaign hostage and taken it away to some degree from Donald Trump. I began thinking about the MAGA supporters that I perceive as being right-wing radicals and how deeply dedicated they are to Donald Trump and all that he stands for. And I posted this question on my website. And the question was, do MAGA supporters want Trump to win the election? And if possible, we talked about this on the show yesterday, do MAGA supporters want Trump to win the election? And if possible, would you want Trump to be president indefinitely? And when you witness the behavior of many MAGA supporters and hear their testimony toward their beloved hero, it seems easy to get the impression that many Americans want Trump to win and remain president as long as he is physically able to do the job. Now, that's not possible unless, of course, you repeat January 6th and succeed. You know, I realize that a president can only serve two terms in office. But when I think about what happened January 6th, I can't help but feel that there are MAGA supporters that want him to stay in office, and that would make him a dictator. As soon as I posted that question on the air about MAGA supporters wanting Trump to be president forever, I had a few callers who identified themselves as MAGA supporters, but they said that they would not want Trump to be president indefinitely. And those calls made it clear that all MAGA supporters are not maniacal with their political expectations. But those MAGA supporters are focused more on making America great again, and they felt like Donald Trump would be the best candidate to restore America to its greatness. Now, supporting the idea of making America great again carries with it the implication that right now America sucks. A couple in that group of MAGA supporters that called the show yesterday said that we need to make America great again. And they said it with a passion that left me with the feeling that they're actually trashing America today. Maybe some Americans who align themselves with the MAGA movement are subconsciously distancing themselves from Donald Trump himself and breaking off into a separate campaign of trashing America. And Trump is the perfect trash collector who can bring America back. Is America really so bad that trashing this country is an effective campaign to get Trump elected? MSNBC host Joe Scarborough, who was a Republican congressman from 1995 to 2001, he went into a full rant against Fox News for claiming the conservative network is obsessed with trashing America, making it seem like only a Republican can restore America, but in the meantime, they're trashing America. You know, the economy's not great for everybody, but by many of the standards by which we judge the economy doesn't suck. So is it really that bad? I mean, I kind of resent the idea that, you know, we have to trash America to get somebody elected, because America's not that bad. I mean, right now, I think we're a great country. We got problems. We got the border. We've got a lot of problems. We've got both parties fighting each other, which is why I love being a radical moderate, where I'm not part of either party, but yet I've got, you know, definite opinions about everything. There are solid standards that show the economy is strong. Unemployment is extremely low, and boy, if the other side had this on their side, they would be bragging about it. Should we make America great again? What, like in 2007 when the minimum wage was raised to $5.85 an hour? Is that making America great again? Or do you want to go back further when a young generation was fighting the establishment with violent protest? That was the baby boomer generation fighting the establishment in the 60s. Or do you want to go back even further when blacks and whites had separate restrooms and water fountains? Exactly what time does this group want to bring America back when it was really great? America has always to some degree been great. But it's becoming obvious that a right-wing effort is underway to trash America in an effort to make former President Donald Trump the only person who can clean up the trash and make America great again. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. You know, this idea of trashing America, I you know, there's a lot of good things about this country right now. We've always had problems. We still have problems. The border was a crisis when Trump was president. It's gotten worse under Biden. And I've talked consistently about Joe Biden failing to do more about the border, and certainly failing to do more to convince us that he really cares about the border. Joe Biden doesn't always seem to be cohesive with his messages. And that's a problem, because the president of the United States needs to be a communicator. And there's not always clear communication with Joe Biden. And plus, it just seems like he's half asleep. Let's go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
Here's a text message that says, are you telling me that America is in better shape now than when he was president?
My America's better. Honestly, my America is better now than it was then. I haven't seen an illegal immigrant. I don't have illegal immigrants in my life. I'm not saying they're not there. I'm not saying they're not a threat to the country. But most Americans don't encounter illegal immigrants. The most encounter that most Americans have with illegal immigrants, and this goes for conservatives as well, they hire them to do work. But my America is better today than it was when Trump was president. But it doesn't have anything to do with Biden. It has to do with me. And so quite often, you know, if something sucks in our lives, what, you're going to blame it on the president? You know, maybe a business failed because the business wasn't run properly. Maybe the business didn't fail because Biden is president. Maybe a business thrived because somebody's really good at business, and it didn't thrive because Donald Trump was in office. And when you look at oil production and a lot of things in America, America is great in many ways right now.
Yeah, you know, if you want to say, well, are you better off 4 years ago? I mean, yeah, some ways you are, some ways you aren't. But some things happened in between that I think matter. You know, he tried to steal a second term. He tried to overturn an election that he lost.
Oh, well, that
he tried about
out, yeah.
tried a million different ways to do that. I got to say, you know, I feel the pinch in the grocery aisle and filling up gas and all that stuff, too. The project of American democracy is more important than your grocery bill. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can endure a higher rate of inflation than I might theoretically have if Donald Trump was president right now, if it means that we don't have an uninterrupted transfer of power between presidents.
You're right about that.
You know what I mean?
But also, and I mean, that was just a horrific moment in our history. But also, when you talk about things in America, I mean, what generation hasn't suffered? I mean, what generation hasn't had to penny pinch? I mean, I remember when my wife and I were married, we had to save up. Oh my God, we've got enough money this week to buy a ham. And see, at that point, my Muslim connection had not kicked in yet, so we bought ham. No, but honestly, I mean, we had to save up to buy a ham, and it was a big deal when we bought a ham. You know, there are people who have always had trouble buying homes. Sometimes it's easier to buy a home than other times. But I don't know that that's always directly related to a president. A lot of it has to do with us. So when you hear about this trashing of America, I want you to just take a little time to think about how great this country is right now. I mean, we've got problems and we need to fix those problems, but we're not going to totally fix them. It doesn't matter who's president. And Donald Trump, if he wins, he's not going to come into office and wave a magic wand and all of a sudden everything's going to change. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. It doesn't happen that quickly.
Here's a text from James on the North Shore who says, I'm tired of hearing how broke our country is when we're going back to the moon, making plans to go to Mars. We're working on fusion. There's so many big things coming up. The Southeast is the battery belt of the world. Louisiana needs to do more to be a part of the future and stop trying to rewind us back to the past. I would love to see Speaker Mike Johnson get funds into Louisiana to start building drone boats, supersonic weapons, and other materials for war that will help us back home with money and with honor of being a strong and healthy state, thriving.
Yeah, and we've got some good businesses here, but look at Mobile. Mobile's building a friggin' Airbus. They're part of, I mean, Airbus started, I think, in Germany, but Airbus is being built also in America, and there's a big plant in Mobile at a runway, and they're flying Airbuses out of there. Some of the parts are being made elsewhere and shipped to Mobile, but you know, I think there's a lot more we can do as a city and as a state that we haven't done.
Dan in Bywater says, remember the nattering nabobs of negativism? That was Spiro Agnew's trash talk, later repeated by Rush to trash all liberals. It's funny how the right has decided that nattering is cool.
Yeah, you know, it's so hypocritical, but it's so interesting how some of the biggest snowflakes that call into this show or text this show or join me on Facebook, some of the biggest snowflakes are Republicans. They're conservatives. They're insulted by, they're offended and insulted by the slightest idea that they don't agree with. Man, come on, grow some. Be a bigger person than that. Let somebody have an opinion and don't fall apart because, oh my God, I didn't like that. You said something I didn't like. I'm telling you, Republicans invented snowflake to describe liberals, but it seems like now Republicans are among the biggest whiners. Not all, but some Republicans.
A couple texts about the Pelicans. Here's one that says, hey, Scoot, I know this isn't a sports show, but Zion had the game of his career last night, yeah. And now he's out for weeks. This isn't Willie Green's fault, but what was the rush to extend this guy? He's a nice guy, but he's taking the Pels as far as he can. The Saints and the Pels mirror each other. Mediocrity seems good enough. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I agree. And I said last night, you know, the Pelicans don't have to win because, oh, well, we don't have to win tonight because we got one more chance on Friday night. You know, where's the killer instinct? Where's the killer instinct with the Saints? Where's the killer instinct with the Pelicans? It's not there. And one of the problems with Zion, and I talked about this from the very, very beginning, he is such a human phenomenon in terms of his size and his agility. But sometimes those things work against each other. He's so fast and he's so agile that the moves that he makes with his weight, if he comes down on something, on an ankle, foot, knee, whatever, he could be more prone to injury than somebody who is a lot lighter than him who has the same kind of agility. It's very unusual for somebody as big as Zion Williamson to have that kind of agility, and I think that could actually lead to the possibility of injuries.
This conversation that we just had going back again to inflation and prices and how every generation, you know, kind of faces the same challenges, it reminds me of this song by Baz Luhrmann. Everybody's free to wear sunscreen. It's kind of a weird deep cut. You might remember this.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it. I got it pulled up to a part that this kind of always pops into my head. And we'll go to break
Let's
with the song
break.
You had.
No, well, no. We'll go to the break with the song that I planned earlier. Let's
of
go
course,
to break.
Yeah.
Let's go to break with this song.
Okay.
What's it called?
This is Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen.
All right, let's listen to a little bit of this as we go to break, because often songs reflect society, the social issues and the political issues of the time. Great words of wisdom. I'm Scoot on WWL. We'll dedicate this song to Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, she should be singing this song. And Fox News, the conservative network, has now called Marjorie Taylor Greene an idiot who is trying to wreck the Republican Party. I've been saying that for a long time. All right, let's get to some calls. Let's go to Cosmo in New Orleans. Hey, Cosmo, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Great show as always.
Thank you.
Look, I grew up in the New England area, and my parents, my dad, my mom, my grandfather, on my dad's side, we were all Democrats up until Jimmy Carter. Of course, I moved to North Carolina. My dad was in the Navy, but anyway, it's just hard. We got to pick between these two candidates. And, you know, I watch CNN and I watch Fox and I go back and forth and listen to what's going on. You think you're living on two different planets. All the trouble that the ex-president is in, Trump, with his legal battles, his court appearances and all the baggage that he's carried, you know, CNN... Every night, Scoot, they bash Trump because I guess that's the story every day. But he's still leading in the polls. And for a Democrat who the party today is mostly to the left of center, I would think, he's still leading in the polls. That's just a reflection of how bad Biden is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, think about that. And CNN and MSNBC, which I don't watch, they just don't reflect on how bad Biden is. They just they bash Trump every night. And since he came down that elevator in 2016, the Democrats were out to get him. They were out to get him the night he came down the elevator with Melania. Now, I know he's not perfect. But if people want to call him an idiot or call him an a-hole or whatever, I'd rather have an a-hole or a jerk that's running the country and doing something good for the country than a guy that's half asleep. They can't put a sentence together. I just want to see each of them on a debate stage because I don't think it's going to be a comparison. I really don't.
No, I don't.
And it's sorry that John F. Kennedy was a Democrat. He couldn't fit in the party today, Scoot. John F. Kennedy.
Ronald,
and he was a decent
Ronald
president.
Reagan, Ronald Reagan could not fit into the Republican Party today.
That's true. That's true.
And there are people running around going, I'm a Reagan Republican. I'm a Reagan Republican. If you're a MAGA supporter, you're not a Reagan Republican.
And you know, I voted in 2016 in the primary, Scoot. I voted for Marco Rubio. That's who I voted for in the primary before Trump went to the general election. But it's just, of all the people we have in this country, we got to pick between these two.
Yeah, it's really, really sad, Cosmo. But look, I want to remind you that the moment Barack Obama was elected, the Republicans were out to get him, too. So explain to me the difference. There's not much difference. But I agree with you about much of what you say about Biden. Now, the polls are essentially tied. Trump, in the last poll that we talked about yesterday, Trump was ahead by one percentage point. So that is essentially a tie. So nobody knows who's going to win this election yet. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1960, he was touring in the UK, and he was killed when the taxi he was riding in hit a lamppost in England. This is the day in 1960 that 21-year-old Eddie Cochran was killed when he was riding in a taxi. He died at the hospital, actually. Sad day. He had some good songs, like this one. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be back on WWL. It was the height of the disco era. On this day in 1976, a song by Johnny Taylor, Disco Lady, was the number one song in the country. And yeah, some radio station somewhere when I was doing music radio, I was playing this song every morning. And I'm sure some of you were thinking, Scoot, stop playing that damn song! Yeah, we had a lot of shouting at the radio back in those days when we played the hits over and over and over again. Oh, Arizona now, the Arizona Republicans have now blocked the repeal of the 1864 abortion bill in Arizona. So, you know, abortion is a big issue in the campaign of 2024, and I'm a little surprised about that. All right, Maren Morris, a popular country pop music artist, she is defending taking her toddler to a, quote, family-friendly drag show. Is there such a thing as a family-friendly drag show? She said it was, quote, completely harmless. And she's telling the state of Tennessee to mind their own business and effing arrest her if that's what they feel like they need to do. But she said, if I want to take my son to that show, I'm going to take my son to that show. We'll talk about that. More of your calls coming up next. I'm Scoot on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.